Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you in praise today. We thank you for all the wonderful things you have given to us. We pray that you'd be with all those here and all those watching and your people throughout this world, certainly in these dark days. And we pray that your blessings and your provision would be here as well, always and amongst your people. And we thank you for all that you've done, and we just praise you, and we give you all thanks, and we ask all this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah and amen. Y'all might be seated. It's a blessing to see everybody here today, and likes to extend a warm greeting to those online. We know there's many watching online. You know, for a while now, I've been wanting to give a message on the Holy Spirit, but not as we generally do. I want to do something more from a Jewish or Hebraic standpoint. Now, many believe that the Holy Spirit is a person and a being, and specifically part of what is known as the Trinity. Now, this message is not going to focus on the Trinity. It's going to focus on the way Judaism views the Holy Spirit. It's actually quite interesting to see the distinctions between the two, as we'll see in this message. Judaism really defines the Holy Spirit as power and inspiration of prophecy. I believe we can see evidence of this throughout Scripture, especially from the Old Testament. We see many, many examples of the evidence of prophecy through the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we also see through the Jewish understanding, and also ours, by the way, that the Holy Spirit represents the power, or some say energy, of the one we worship. And again, this is how we've always viewed the Holy Spirit. This is how Judaism views the Holy Spirit. I want to begin today by sharing a few references confirming what I've said so that you see evidence of how Judaism understands this. First, references from an article entitled The Holy Spirit in the Hebrew Bible and its connection to the New Testament. This is from Bible.org. So here's what it says. In Jewish tradition, the Holy Spirit referred to in the Hebrew Bible is not taken to be the third person of the Trinity. So there it is. From the Jewish perspective, the Jews have never believed in the Trinity. The Jews have never viewed the Holy Spirit as a separate being. So in such passages, the Hebrew word is translated spirit, not capitalized spirit. In general, the Jews view that the spirit of Elohim referred to in the Bible alludes to his energy. There it is, to his energy, to his power. Accordingly, it is recognized that divine origin of the spirit is implied by the term his, Yahweh's, spirit of holiness. Yet this does not mean that the Holy Spirit was regarded as a hypostasis. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Distinct from the divine person, Shekinah, divine presence or Shekinah. In other words, according to the rabbis, although the spirit of Elohim is of divine origin, this does not mean that there is a Holy Spirit as a divine person. On the contrary, the Holy Spirit is a mode of the one and only Elohim, I'll say, self-expression in word and creation. So what do we learn here from this first source? According to the Jewish perspective, or I would say the Hebrew perspective, and this is not a Jewish new perspective. This has always been the Jewish perspective, the Hebraic perspective. The Holy Spirit is not a person and not part of the Trinity. In fact, the Holy Spirit is not viewed as, again, as a person, but is part of Yahweh's energy, part of Yahweh's power. That's how the Jews view it. Again, that's also how we view it here at this ministry. It goes on to say here that the Holy Spirit is regarded as a hypostasis distinct from the divine presence or Shekinah. What is the meaning of the word hypostasis? Or the Webster Dictionary defines this word as, quote, the substance or essential nature of an individual. According to this source, this refers to the divine origin of the Holy Spirit. But it goes on to say that the origin does not mean that the Holy Spirit is a separate person, not a separate entity. In fact, it says here that the Holy Spirit is a one and only self-expression of Yahweh in word and action. And I would agree with that. When we think about how Yahweh interacts and responds, it is always through the Holy Spirit, whether that is directly through the Holy Spirit or through mankind, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, we see another witness to this from the Encyclopedia Britannica, something we should all be familiar with. It says there, Christian writers have seen various references to the Spirit of Yahweh in the Hebrew. And by the way, I did not, as you might have noticed, changed any of the words. So the Britannic actually uses the Spirit of Yahweh. In the Hebrew scriptures, in anticipation of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the Hebrew word ruach, which we'll look at today, usually translated as spirit, is often found in texts referring to the free and unhindered activity of Elohim, either in creating or in revitalizing the creation, especially in connection with the prophetic word or messianic expectation. There was, however, no explicit belief in a separate divine person in biblical Judaism. Notice that. Never. Never. They've never viewed the Holy Spirit as a separate divine person apart from the Father. It says, in fact, the New Testament itself is not entirely clear in this regard. So, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, we see, again, the understanding of the word spirit from a Jewish perspective, a biblical Jewish perspective. Now, the word spirit, as we see here, is from the Hebrew ruach. We'll dive deep into the Hebrew word ruach today. As we see, this is often translated as spirit. We also see here that the Holy Spirit is frequently connected to creation and also to the prophetic word. In fact, we find these words in Genesis 1, verse 2. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And listen, it says, "The Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters." So in Genesis 1, verse 2, we find a reference specifically to the activity of the Holy Spirit in creation. So the Holy Spirit is active through creation and also through prophecy. We'll see examples. Notice in 1:2, we also see a connection between the Spirit and Elohim. It doesn't say the Spirit, it says the Spirit of Elohim. Connecting the Spirit with Elohim. We'll see many more examples of that throughout this message. Now, what else do we find in this reference? Or in reference to the Holy Spirit, it says that there's no explicit belief in a divine being in biblical Judaism. Again, in reference to the Holy Spirit, there's no explicit belief in a divine being. They've never believed or viewed the Holy Spirit as a separate person. They've always viewed, as we do here, the Spirit as the power, or some say energy, of our Father in heaven. Now, for grins, I want to share with you what we find from ChatGPT. I'm kind of intrigued with this source. It's not error-free, but it's amazing how accurate it's been with some of the questions I've asked through the source. So this is the question was, how does Judaism view the Holy Spirit? So this was the response. And for those who maybe aren't familiar with ChatGPT, this is an open AI that is pretty popular right now and is really quite amazing in many ways. But it says, in Judaism, the concept of the Holy Spirit differs from its understanding in Christian theology. In Judaism, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh is seen as a manifestation of Elohim's presence, power, and influence in the world. In Jewish tradition, the Holy Spirit is not considered a separate divine entity or distinct person within the I'll say, or it says G-O-D head here, as in the Christian belief in the Holy Trinity. Instead, the Holy Spirit is often understood as an expression of Elohim's active presence and guidance in the world. It is associated with divine inspiration, prophecy, in the enabling of certain individuals to carry out specific tasks or fulfill their roles within the community. We'll see examples of many of that within today's message. So even here, through this open AI, do we find the concept of the Holy Spirit is very different between ancient Judaism and Christianity. Ancient Judaism, again, never viewed the Holy Spirit as a separate entity or part of the Trinity, as it is known now. Instead, it views the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh, as Yahweh's active presence and guidance in the world. That's how it defines the activity and the actions of the Holy Spirit. It's also connected to his divine inspiration, prophecy, and the enabling of certain gifts, as we find here in the source. And again, all of that's correct. None of that is wrong. It's all right. Now, we're going to see again many of these attributes throughout this message today. But before that, I want to further defined the word for spirit, we need to really understand the meaning of spirit, what it is, what it's not. Most people, when they think of spirit, they think of the Holy Spirit. And certainly we see many, many examples of the Holy Spirit. But the word spirit, ruach, can also denote different definitions or different items. So first reference here is from the Strong's. So ruach, it says wind by resemblance breath, a sensible or even a violent exhalation, figuratively life, anger, by extension, a region of the sky by resemblance spirit, but only of a rational being, including its expression and functions. So I want you to notice here the first definition. What is it? It says here wind. The first definition here of spirit, of ruach, is wind. As we'll see in a moment, the word ruach is rendered wind 92 times within the Old Testament. Now, we also see here that ruach relates to breath, the breath of life, the breath that we have within us. Understand that there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirit within us, or the breath within us. Some people confuse that. Some people believe that they're the same thing. They're not the same thing. We're born with a ruach, right? Because we all have breath. We're born with a ruach, but not all of us contain the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. Only those of Yahweh contain the Spirit. And by the way, both animals and humans contain the ruach. The ruach is not distinct to human beings. Both animals and humans contain the ruach. So again, there's a difference between the ruach, the breath of life within us, and the Holy Spirit, which we receive when? At immersion, baptism into Yahshua's name. Now, the word ruach is translated, again, multiple ways within the King James. As we see on the slide here, it's, by the way, 7307, if you want to find that in Strong's, but it's rendered as spirit or spirit, uppercase or lowercase, 232 times. Wind, 92 times. Breath, 27 times. Side, 6 times. Mind, 5 times. Blast, 4 times. Vein, 2 times. Ear, 1 time. Anger, 1 time. Cool, 1 time. Courage, 1 time. And then a few other miscellaneous definitions we find. So we see here that, and again, that's 232 times. Then wind. So the first definition of Strong's is wind. It's the second rendering, as we find within the King James, and 27 times is breath, the breath of life. So there's a distinction, again, between the Spirit, the breath, and the Holy Spirit. Now, two things, all of these, the first three items that share in common. Number one, they're all invisible. And number two, they have an association to power. Yahweh's Spirit is power. The wind around us certainly is power, if you've seen hurricanes or tornadoes. And the breath we have within us is power. We speak with power. It certainly gives us the power of life. We also see here that ruach is translated many, many other ways. I won't repeat those, but we see multiple other ways the word ruach is rendered. So while the main definitions here of ruach is spirit and wind and breath, we see it's rendered in other ways. Now, I want to share with you, and we're going to actually use this as a guide throughout the remainder of this message, the Branch River Bricks. So you have Strong's. Now, if you ever want to dig deeper into a word, you need to go to Branch River Bricks or Thayer's. They're good resources. And here's what it says about the word ruach. So the first definition here of breath of mouth or nostrils. So that's the first definition of ruach within Branch River Bricks. And it says wind. And then third is spirit, as that which breathes quickly in animation or agitation, temper, disposition. Number four, spirit of the living, breathing being, dwelling of of men and animals. Five, spirit as seat of emotion. Six, occasionally and late, seat of organ of mental acts. Seven, rarely of the will. Eight, especially of moral character. And nine, spirit of Elohim. So we see the ways the word spirit is rendered here. Now, the word ruach is understood in all these different ways. It can, again, refer to the breath of life, our disposition, our attitude, our moral character, and, as we see lastly here, ironically, to the spirit of Yahweh, to the spirit of Elohim. Now, again, in the remainder of this message, I want to look at an example of each one of these with an emphasis on the spirit of Elohim. We're going to see in examples where the spirit of Elohim is connected to Yahweh and also how it's connected with prophecy, and also we'll share one example of how it's connected with even strength in the case of Samson. Now, I want to begin here with the first definition, that is breath of mouth or nostrils. We see an example of this in Genesis 6, verse 17. It says, Aaron, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth and destroy all flesh. Wherein is he breath? The breath. That word breath is from the Hebrew ruach, breath of life, from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth, it says, it shall die. You know, as we know, this passage is a reference to the rebellion of mankind and to the coming flood that Yahweh would impose upon this earth. And we know that he destroyed all life except Noah and his family and those creatures that were on the ark. In this passage, we see here that the word ruach is rendered how? The word ruach is rendered breath. It actually says breath of life. Now, the word life here comes from the Hebrew hayim, so it's ruach hayim. The word ha refers to something that is alive. So the breath of life, the ruach hayim, breath that is living. So again, as we see here, the word ruach refers to the breath of life within us. Some may not realize it, but if you think about it, no life can exist without Yahweh's Spirit. Yahweh's Spirit is what gives life, is what makes life possible. Now, in Genesis 8, verse 1, we find an example of wind. I'm going to go through, again, each one of these fairly quickly, and then once we get to the Holy Spirit, we'll delve a bit deeper into that. So here's an example of wind. Genesis 8, verse 1, it says, And Elohim remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and Elohim made a wind, to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Again, the word wind here is from the Hebrew ruach. Now, in this example, we actually see a connection with a flood. As we saw an example in the previous passage of the flood, same thing here. But here we find that Yahweh is using the ruach how? That Yahweh is using the ruach to drive away the water. So Yahweh said that he would destroy all ruach, except again Noah and his family. And here we find that he's using the ruach to drive away the waters that destroyed the earth. So again, very different usage from what we saw in the previous passage. And again, ruach can be rendered many, many different ways. Now let's look at another example of how ruach is rendered. Some of these are very similar, by the way, within Brown Trevor Briggs, but I want to take each one and provide an example of how this definition is understood. So Proverbs 25, verse 28. It says, Therein he that hath no rule over his own spirit, and the word spirit is ruach, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So we see here this passage is speaking about a person who is unable to control his spirit. The spirit here is referring to emotions. And I actually used this passage in a message here recently. And as I shared in the previous message, I believe the important lesson here is to temperance and self-control. That we have a control about our emotions. If not, it says here that we're like a city without walls. In the ancient world, every major city had walls, and a city without walls was unprotected. Or when we allow our ruach to simply go without restraint, it is like a city without walls, and it is destined for ruin. And that's why it's important that we understand the need to have self-control, to have temperance. Because it controls our ruach, it controls our spirit, it controls our mental mind, and in this case, the temper, the disposition. In Zechariah 12, verse 1, we find a different definition, similar though to the first one. Zechariah 12, verse 1, it says, A burden of the word of Yahweh for Israel, saith Yahweh, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Again, the word spirit here is from the Hebrew ruach. Zechariah 12, for the record, is one of the most important messianic prophecies we find within the word. It speaks about how Yahshua is going to return. It speaks about how he will fight against all the armies of the earth who comes against Jerusalem. It speaks about how he will supernaturally empower his people, how those of David will be like a mighty one. So this passage is an important passage. We also know in this passage that it says that when Yahshua comes, those who put him to death or were responsible for that, they're going to look at him, they're going to mourn for him as one would mourn for their only son. So we find all of those important points within this passage of Zechariah 12. But we also find here the meaning of Ruach, or one meaning of Ruach. It says here that he forms the spirit of man within him. So again, we find here that the spirit refers to the breath of life that he forms within mankind. We see here that it's Yahweh who forms us. It's Yahweh who gives us life. Again, without him, without his spirit, we would not exist. The only reason we're here is because Yahweh has so graciously given his spirit. He has given his Ruach. He has given us the breath of life. And again, that includes not only humans, but also animals. Every living creature is driven through the same source, and that is the source of Yahweh's Ruach. Now, 1 Samuel 1, verse 15, we find a connection to emotions. 1 Samuel 1, verse 15, it says, "And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my master, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before Yahweh.'" So what do we know about this passage? We know that Hannah was barren and unable to have children. And for this reason, she, it says here, had a sorrowful spirit. Now, the word spirit, again, is from the Hebrew Ruach. Now, long story short, I'll give you kind of the history with this. Long story short, we know that Yahweh blessed Hannah with a son named Samuel. Samuel was a great guy. He was raised by another great man, and that was Eli, or Eli, the high priest. We know that Samuel was very special in Yahweh's eyes in many, many ways. He was considered a priest, judge, and prophet within Scripture. He anointed both Saul and David as kings over Israel. And again, as we see here, the story of Samuel begins with a mother with a sorrowful or a sad spirit. So we see here how the word Ruach can be rendered or used to describe emotions. And there's other examples of this. I just want to share one. There's other emotions that the spirit of Ruach can be used to express. Again, this is simply one, the emotion of sadness. Now we find the word spirit also refers to our mental acts. An example of this would be wisdom. We see an example of this in Deuteronomy 34:9. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as Yahweh commanded Moses." Now, even though the Branch River Briggs makes a distinction here, I believe that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, again, the Branch River Briggs shows a distinction here with this word. We see here that Moses laid his hands upon Joshua, and Joshua then was full of the, what? Full of the spirit, the Ruach of wisdom. And again, this was a result of Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh, the result of his wisdom, or the result of his Ruach, or spirit. Now we know that in the New Testament, the word pneuma, again, which is essentially Ruach, but it refers to the gifts of Yahweh's spirit. And we know that one of the gifts in the New Testament is wisdom. So Yahweh's spirit gives wisdom. Now, it doesn't give wisdom to everybody, because again, it's a gift. And we don't all have the same gift. But we find here that when Moses laid his hands upon Joshua, that Joshua received the spirit of wisdom. We know that Yahweh also gave this to Solomon in great measure. Now, as a side note, this is one reason why we believe it's important to be ordained by a minister. Every example of a laying on of hands was always done by a minister. Someone ordained to the office, and certainly Moses was ordained to the office. But we find the same pattern in the New Testament as well, that those ordained to the work of Almighty Yahweh, they are the ones who carry this pattern out. Now in Psalms 51 verse 10, we find a connection to our will. We're all familiar with this psalm, Psalm 51:10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me." If I'm right, I think that's a song we sing. You know, as many know, Psalms 51 was written by King David. Now, he wrote this psalm during a very turbulent time within his life. He wrote this song after being confronted by Nathan the prophet for his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, Uriah the Hittite. You know, even though David made some huge mistakes, and I just wonder how often we really consider the mistakes David made. He made some just, we know that he was special because he had a heart after Yahweh's own. He was special because he had a heart after Yahweh's own. Even in the instance of Nathan the prophet, he completely conceded, never held back, admitted, and humbled himself to Yahweh's mercy and grace. But it wasn't all connected to will. In this case, we find that here that Ruach is connected to will, a desire to serve Yahweh, to walk in his ways. I want to move on now and really focus on the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh. And again, we're going to do this from a Hebraic standpoint. And I believe it's important that we understand this. You know, the reason I'm giving this message is it's important that we understand how the Jews, and even more importantly, how the Old Testament views the Holy Spirit. It is a foundation. Most people, when speaking about the Holy Spirit, 9 times out of 10 will make reference to the New Testament. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But I believe when we gloss over the old, we neglect and we miss so much truth. Now, we'll see the Holy Spirit has 3 different perspectives. Number one, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit represents an extension of who Yahweh is. The Holy Spirit represents an extension of Almighty Yahweh. Number two, it also represents the power or inspiration of prophecy. And number three, it represents, we'll see one example, but there's actually many examples of this, but it represents actually supernatural human power. And we'll see an example of that in Scripture. Now, the first example I want to share, I'm going to share several examples, because of the Trinity mainly, to show that there is a connection, a direct line of connection between Yahweh and His Spirit. In other words, they are not distinct. They are not different. You don't have Yahweh and then the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, which is part of Yahweh Himself. They are not distinct. Now, we see, again, many examples of this. Nehemiah 9, verse 20 is one example. It says, "You also gave your good Spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst." So we see a reference here to the Holy Spirit. It says, "Your good Spirit." Your good Spirit. This passage is referring to our Father in heaven. And again, it expresses the Holy Spirit as His good Spirit. You know, for me, this shows a connection between the Holy Spirit and our Father in heaven. It shows that the Holy Spirit is not distinct. If the Holy Spirit was not an extension of Yahweh, it would say something very different here. It'd say the good Spirit. It would not say your good Spirit. It shows, again, a connection to the one we worship. Now, another example of this is Psalms 106:33. It says, "Because they rebelled against His Spirit," notice that, His Spirit, "so that He spoke rashly with His lips." So again, we find a connection here between Yahweh and what? We find a connection between Yahweh and the Ruach, between Yahweh and the Holy Spirit. It says here that they rebelled against His. Or who's His? Or the His here, this is a reference to our Father in heaven, Yahweh's Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit was a separate being, it would say something like, again, they rebelled against the Spirit, indicating a separate being, but it doesn't say that here. It says your Spirit, His Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit. So again, we see a connection here between Yahweh's Spirit and Him. It's not distinct. It's not separate. And this is why Judaism, again, views the Holy Spirit as part of Yahweh, an extension of His power, of His energy, and not as a separate being. Another example of this is Psalms 139, verse 7. It says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" Now, this one's unique for me. We see a connection here not only to the Holy Spirit in Yahweh, but also to Yahweh in His presence. Now think about this for just a moment. It says here, from your Spirit and from your presence. You know, based on this, if the Holy Spirit is a separate being, where then Yahweh's presence too must be a separate being. And so is Yahweh's presence. Now I know that makes no sense at all. We know that Yahweh's presence is part of Him. But equally so, the Holy Spirit is also part of our Father in heaven. To say otherwise would really be nonsensical. You know, for me, this same reasoning would also again apply to the Holy Spirit. Now, another example of this is Psalms 143, verse 10. It says, "Teach me to do your will. You are my Elohim." It says, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. So Psalms 143, verse 10, it says here again, this is written by King David, and he says, your spirit is good. It doesn't say the spirit is good. It says your spirit is good. Again, this shows a connection between our Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit. I know these are a little bit redundant, by the way, going and looking at all these examples, but it's important. It's important that we see the examples in Scripture, that we understand how Scripture, the Old Testament, defines the Holy Spirit. Because to say the Spirit and your Spirit is a very different thing. If I am saying the Spirit, or that indicates in any way that it's something maybe separate. But if I say your Spirit, it's like saying your strength, your courage. That courage and that strength is part of who you are. It's not distinct from you, it's just part of who you are. The Holy Spirit works the same way. Because again, it says your Spirit, not the Spirit. It's an important concept to understand. And when you look at the examples, there's so many examples in Scripture where it speaks in this way, where it says your Spirit, not the Spirit. It's a very different approach and something that we need to take notice of. So a few more examples here. Isaiah 63, verse 10, it says, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them." So again, this passage is speaking about the rebellion of Israel. It says here that they grieved his Holy Spirit. Now, just for the record, we know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And how do we grieve the Holy Spirit for just a moment? How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, we grieve the Holy Spirit by sin. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we deviate willfully and deliberately from Yahweh's word. And as believers, we should never do that. We should never willfully and deliberately disobey our Father in heaven. When we do this, we are grieving Yahweh's Spirit. And when we grieve Yahweh's Spirit, we can lose Yahweh's Spirit. Some people ask, you know, can I lose Yahweh's Spirit? Of course you can. If we grieve Yahweh's Spirit, we may, and we certainly risk losing the Spirit. But again, we see here this reference to his Holy Spirit. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And again, it's like his courage, his strength, his anger, whatever it is. It connects the Holy Spirit with the one mentioned, and that is to our Father in heaven. See another example of this in Zechariah 4, verse 6. It says, "So he answered and said to me, this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts." My spirit. So again, we see a connection between the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, and Yahweh here. In fact, it says, my spirit, showing a connection, a personal connection between the Holy Spirit and again, our Father in heaven. You know, based on these examples, it's really hard to believe that the Holy Spirit is a different entity from our Father in heaven. And that's why Judaism has never viewed it in this way. They read the Scriptures, they look at the Bible, they look at the Old Testament, they see the examples, and we don't see examples supporting this notion that the Holy Spirit is a separate person. And I do believe in the New Testament, if we would have seen more of His Spirit, the Spirit of Elohim, it would have been better understood. But through the Old Testament, from the Hebraic perspective, what do we find? We find again that the Spirit is connected with our Father in heaven. It is not distinct. It is not separate. It is simply part of Him. It is part of His energy. It is part of His power. You know, some believe that through the Holy Spirit, this universe is held together. I kind of believe that's the case. I believe the Holy Spirit does some amazing things. And when we understand that the Spirit is simply an extension of Yahweh's power, or all that makes sense. Because we know that Yahweh drives everything that is. And it's through His Spirit that these things happen. Now, in addition to the connection here between Yahweh and the Holy Spirit, we also see how the Holy Spirit is used in Scripture in the Old Testament from a Hebraic standpoint. Because most Jews, when you ask, and by the way, the Jews are, it's kind of interesting, they don't put a lot of focus or emphasis on the Holy Spirit. But they do speak about it some. And when they do, they generally connect it with prophecy. They will say, this is the way prophecy is given. It is through the Holy Spirit. They recognize that there's a connection between prophecy and the Ruach. And we'll see some examples, not many today just because of time, but I want to share with you two examples, I believe two examples. First one here is in 1 Samuel 10, 5 through 6 and verse 10. Now this is a real interesting passage for those familiar with it. It's kind of mysterious in some ways, but it says, after that thou shalt come to the hill of Elohim, where is a garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when you are come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psalm shroom, with a tabret, and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Now verse 10 says, and thou shalt prophesy with them. Oh, I'm sorry. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of Elohim came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Now, who is this speaking about? Saul. Saul. This is a reference to King Saul. Now, we see here this company of prophets. Company of prophets. You know, for me, this is fascinating. I don't know if you've ever really considered this passage. It's kind of mysterious. We don't see it in too many places here. Who were these prophets? Or, truth be told, we really don't know. We don't know. We see them here in 1 Samuel 10 and also in 1 Samuel 19, but nowhere else. Nowhere else do we find this. Something school of the prophets, company of the prophets, groups of the prophets. What do we know? We see here that they were musicians. Musicians. They obviously had Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And it says here that they prophesied. That's all we know. It's interesting, though, we see a connection between musician or music and prophecy in the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe music is a powerful thing. We see here that when Saul approached these men, it says here that the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Fell upon. Now we know that Saul, you know, Saul had his issues, but Yahweh used Saul in a fascinating way in this account. Now, what he prophesied, the Bible does not say. We don't know what he prophesied. But we know that he prophesied. We know that Yahweh's Spirit fell upon him in a great way. We also see that it says when this happened, that it turned Saul, it says, into another man. Now, again, there's a lot of conjecture as to what that means, turned Saul into another man. For me, this shows that the impact of the Holy Spirit can have on his people, allow Yahweh's presence to work within us. I've seen some pretty despicable men, probably some pretty despicable women, turn into some great men and some great women. But it's when they surrender themselves to Yahweh, when they rely upon the Holy Spirit, rely upon His power, when they understand the value there. But Yahweh's Spirit can rely on that Holy Spirit. We need to live our lives according to Yahweh's word. We should never grieve the Holy Spirit. This is also why, again, it's important that we nurture and grow the Holy Spirit within us. And we do this, again, by living according to Yahweh's word, by living according to His way. Now, we see another example of the power of prophecy through the Holy Spirit in Micah. Micah 3, verse 8. It says, "But truly I am a full of power by the Spirit of Yahweh and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and Israel his sin." This passage is speaking about who? It's speaking about the prophet Micah. It says here that he was full of power by the Spirit of Yahweh. So we see the source. We see where he received his. We see where he received his prophecy, the words that he spoke. Now the word power here comes from the Hebrew koach, and according to Josephus, refers to strength, power, or might. We find here that through the strength and power of Almighty Yahweh, through His Spirit, that Micah boldly prophesied against the sins of His people Israel. We also see a connection here between the Holy Spirit and prophecy. Again, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no prophecy. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no life. Or without the Spirit, I should say. Without the Ruach, we would not exist. You know, as you saw in the previous example, we also see here a connection between Yahweh and the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of Yahweh. It doesn't say the Spirit. It says the Spirit of Yahweh. Again, when we look at this from a Hebraic standpoint, from a Jewish standpoint, we begin to understand why the Jews understand what they do. Now, we've always understood that as well. This is not unique. This is not something new to us. But it's certainly new to a lot of people. A lot of people view the Holy Spirit, again, as a distinct, separate being. But not according to the Old Testament, not according to the Jews, not according to the evidence we find within the Tanakh. What we find here, through these examples, is a connection between the Holy Spirit and our Father in heaven. Again, it is part of Him. It's like His courage. It's like His strength. It's like any other emotion. It's not distinct. It's not separate. It's not different. It's simply part of Him. It's the power and the energy that comes forth from our Father in heaven. I want to share one more example of this. Ezekiel 3. In Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel, the first few chapters are really amazing. Now, I wish I had more time, but I'm not going to review all of that with you today, but I would encourage you maybe after this service or this week sometime, go back and read Ezekiel 1 through 3. It's an amazing account. We find some fascinating descriptions of the angelic here. Anyway, Ezekiel 3, 11 through 14 says, "And go and get thee to them of the captivity of Judah, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith my sovereign Yahweh, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear or refuse to hear. Then the Spirit took me up." So notice the active agent here is the Spirit, the Ruach. The Ruach took him up. "And I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of Yahweh from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up, the Ruach lifted Ezekiel up, and took me away, and I went in bitterness," it says, "in the heart of my spirit, Ruach, but the hand of Yahweh was strong upon me." What we find here in Ezekiel 3, and again, really, just the first few passages of Ezekiel are just amazing and really beyond human comprehension in my mind. I remember a Bible study, it's been a while now, but we were talking about the imagery we find in Ezekiel 1. There's all kinds of different ideas. Nobody really knows, in my opinion, but it's amazing. It's really fascinating. But going back to Ezekiel 1, we find the imagery of what the Bible calls the four living creatures. Now, these are angelic creatures. These are angelic creatures, and we find here that through the Spirit, Ezekiel had an encounter with the supernatural. You see, I don't believe that as human beings, without Yahweh's Spirit moving, we can see or have a connection with the angelic. We find here that Ezekiel saw and experienced the angelic through the power of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Now, we also see here that it says the Spirit lifted him up. The Ruach lifted him up and took him away. I want to read this from the NIV, verse 14. It says, "The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of Yahweh on me." You know, I believe as the Spirit carried away Philip, we find the same activity example here. But instead of going where Philip went, we find here that Ezekiel went to those at the captivity of the Jews, and he prophesied against their sins. Now, it says here that he was in bitterness and anger. You know, I believe this refers to the grief and to the anger that Ezekiel had for his people. Emotionally, I believe he was torn. Now, think about being in Ezekiel here. He's going to his people who are in exile, and he's prophesying for their sins, but it's his people. So he was grieved. He was sad because he had to prophesy against his own people. But he also knew that the reason he was prophesying is they were openly, deliberately defying and rebelling against Yahweh's words. So I believe he was torn emotionally He was torn. He was in grief, but also he was angry. He was in grief that he had to do what he had to do to his own people, but he was angry, I believe, because of their sin, because they deliberately and willfully knew what they were doing. It also says here that Yahweh's Spirit was strong upon him. You know, I believe that Yahweh's Spirit works differently with different people. We even see in the New Testament where it talks about how we receive a measure, the measure, down payment of the Holy Spirit. So we see here that the Holy Spirit was upon this man in a great way. So here are just three takeaway points from Ezekiel. He had a supernatural encounter. And again, all of this was, I believe, through the Ruach. Without the Ruach, I don't believe that he would have seen these four living creatures. I don't believe that he would have had that ability to experience these angelic beings. So it was through the Ruach that he had this ability. He was also lifted up and carried away. Now, there's a lot of debate as to what that might mean. I kind of compare it to what happened to Philip. He was carried away. And in this case, he was carried away through the Spirit to those at the captivity where he prophesied. And three, we know that he boldly prophesied, and that was through the Holy Spirit. So we see many ways where he was a blessing. Now, I want to share one more example with you today. Judges 14. Now, this is another way the Holy Spirit is used. I'm going to close with this. Judges 14, 5 through 6, it says, "And went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of Yahweh came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told his father and his mother what he had done." Told not his father and mother what he had done. You know, we see here the power of Yahweh's Spirit. We see the strength of Yahweh's Spirit through Samson here. As the lion approached him, it says the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he tore that lion apart as a small kid, it says. You know, we know that Samuel was known for his strength, but have you ever considered where that strength came from? Where the strength was from his Ruach, from Yahweh's Ruach, from the Holy Spirit. This is where his strength came from. So the Ruach is an amazing thing. The Ruach gives us life. The Ruach allows us to speak boldly. The Ruach provides for prophecy. The Ruach allows us to see the angelic, maybe. The Ruach also gives us power, physical power, strength in certain cases, as we see here with Samson. Without the Holy Spirit, Samson would have been powerless. And we know he was at that point near the end of his life. He was roped up, couldn't do much about it. Of course, Yahweh restored the Spirit, and then he got revenge on his enemies. So from all these examples, we find that Yahweh's Spirit is alive and well. And it's not just alive and well in the New Testament. It's alive and well in the Old Testament. Again, so many people, when they speak about the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing wrong with speaking about the Holy Spirit from a New Testament perspective. I encourage that. But I believe as believers, it's important that we understand the Holy Spirit from a Hebraic perspective, from a Jewish perspective. And when we read the Old Testament, when we read the Tanakh, we realize some truths that many miss. And again, that is that the Spirit is part of Yahweh. Again, just as his courage is part of him, just as his sadness is part of him, his Spirit is part of him. His power is part of him. And through that power, we can do some great things. Through the Spirit, again, he provides prophecy to man. He empowers his people. He does some great things. And, you know, when Yahshua comes, I believe that he's going to use the Spirit again. We read part of Zechariah 12. It's one of my favorite passages, by the way. And we see there that he's going to empower his people. That he is going to supernaturally, just as he did with Samson here, he is going to supernaturally, I believe, empower his people. And his people are going to be able to defend themselves when all the armies of the earth comes against him. And this is, again, the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Ruach is amazing. Again, it gives us life. It provides insight. It provides for prophecy. And in some cases, it provides for strength, for raw power, as we see here with Samson, and as we'll see in the latter days. Well, I pray that this message, this review of the Holy Spirit has been a blessing. I hope it's given you some insight that maybe you haven't had in the past. And again, it's just important for us as believers to understand the Holy Spirit, not just from a New Testament perspective, but from a Hebraic perspective, from a Jewish perspective. There's a reason why the Jews have always understood the Spirit, the Ruach, as Yahweh's energy, as his power. And they've always understood that the Spirit is not a separate being. And again, there's a reason why. And the reason why is that's what Scripture supports. So I pray again that it's been blessing and revealing. And with that, I would wish you all a happy Sabbath, and may Yahweh bless you.